Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Thanks, Mike. You're still very cheerful. Praise God. This was a request from my young friends. They want us to still do the blind man sat by the road. But I wanted to teach something new. But they still want to do the blind man Sabbath. So I'm play the guitar. We'll just do it, eh? Okay? See how we go? I hope you remember. Feel free, if you don't want to stand up, just watch us and enjoy, okay? Okay? But you remember the blind man, right? The blind man sat by the road and he cried. The blind man sat by the road and he cried. The blind man sat by the road and he cried, oh, 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 show me the truth, show me the light, show me the way to go home, baby, ah, 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 ah. Home, baby, ah, 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 ah. The crippled man sat by the road and he cried. The crippled man sat by the road and he cried. The crippled man sat by the road and he cried. He cried, oh, show me the truth. Show me the light. Show me the way to go home, baby. Home, baby. I sat by the road and I cried. I sat by the road and I cried. I sat by the road and I cried. I cried, oh, show me the truth. Show me the light. Show me the way. The way to go home, baby. Home, baby. Jesus sat by the road and he cried. Jesus sat by the road and he cried. Jesus sat by the road and he cried. He cried, oh, 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 I am the truth. I am the light. I am the way. The way to go home, baby. Home, baby. I wanted to teach something new this afternoon, but we'll do it sometime. Maybe tonight at the prayer meeting, yeah? That's cool. Even my one-year-old Noelle, she loves it. She's learning how to talk, so it's baby talk, right? Bye-bye, bye-bye, bye-bye. And she loves this song. It's about, you know, the judgment of the nations, Matthew 25, where Jesus speaks about at the end of the time, you know, we'll be brought before the judge and he will separate us, you know, sheep from goats. The sheep will go on the right, the goats, you know. So this song says, I just want to be a sheep. Ba, 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 ba. And Noel, as soon as she hears us, my wife and I and Michelle, as soon as we go, I just want to be a sheep, she goes, ba, 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 ba. Oh, that's so cool. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I don't want to be a goat, no. I don't want to be a goat, no. Cause they ain't got no hope. I don't want to be a goat, no. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. All right? And I don't want to be a Pharisee. I don't want to be a Pharisee. Cause they ain't fair, you see. I don't want to be a Pharisee. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a
Hey, I just want to be a sheep. Bah, 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 bah. I just want to be a sheep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep. I don't want to be a hypocrite. I don't want to be a hypocrite. 'Cause they ain't hip, you see. I don't want to be a hypocrite. Come on. I just want to be a sheep. Ba 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep. Ba ba ba. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep. Ba 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 ba. It's kind of cool, isn't it? Praise God.
Okay. Okay. So welcome. All right. So is this the third talk? Oh, I'm losing track. Okay, this is the third talk, and I want the title of this talk to be How to Receive the Anointing of the Spirit. You see, you can talk about the anointing and all that, and what good is it if we don't know how to walk in the anointing, how to receive the anointing of the Spirit? Praise God. It's still, you know, following the scheme of Raniero Cantalamessa. I'm just pushing you to buy his book. Yeah, that's fine. But if you don't buy it too, that's okay. Don't feel guilty, okay? Praise God. In the book, you know, he quotes St. Basil. You've heard of Saint, do you say Basil or Basil? Basil. The British will say Basil, eh? St. Basil, St. Basil. St. Basil says, the Holy Spirit was always present in the life of the Lord, with him as his anointing and inseparable companion, in such a way that everything that Christ did, he did in the Spirit, in the presence and under the guidance of the Spirit. See? So you look at Jesus, and right from his baptism in the Jordan, hear what the scripture says. It says the Spirit led him into the desert where he was tempted by the devil. And then in the power of the Spirit, he returned back to Nazareth. You know. See? So everything was led by the power of the Spirit. It's so important. What it means to receive this anointing, it says it implies a certain passivity. A being put into action, moved, or as St. Paul says, led by the Spirit. The anointing is more something that the Spirit gives than what we can do. See, so it depends on the Lord. It depends on the Spirit. It's not so much what we can do. You know, sometimes we have this, you know, back at home. In the charismatic world, sometimes we say there are people who work out the anointing, you know. It's like when he's preaching, he wants to speak in a certain kind of tone of voice, as if that brings the anointing. You understand what I'm saying? And God wants to move. And when he moves, the power moves. What's that? See, as if it's the way we shake our body and the way we change the tone of our voice. In the name of Jesus. And sometimes we move into the King James Version, you know. Thou art mighty God. Thou, you know, and the... You know what I'm talking about. Thee. We worship thee, O God. Thou art mighty. It's not those things that bring the anointing. Praise God. So the anointing is more than, you know, more something that the Spirit gives than what we can do. Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Zechariah. You know of that book? Hey. It's going to be tough out there. I heard a preacher once. He says, you'll be in heaven and you're going to meet this guy and he's going to shake hands with you and say, hi, my name is Zechariah. Did you read my book? Hey, Corey. And you're going to say, what? I even never heard there was a book in the Bible called Zechariah. But you know what I'm saying? So Zechariah, let's turn to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 6. Very beautiful reading. It says, then he said to me, this is the Lord's message to Zerubbabel. Not by an army, nor by might, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Not by an army, nor by might, but by my spirit. You remember this morning how Psalm 20 began to speak about some rely on chariots, others on horses, but we in the name of the Lord. This is where the anointing comes from. It's not by might, nor by power, nor by an army, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Okay? And so what do we want to drive at? You know, how do we receive the anointing? How do we recognize there is an anointing? It has something to do with the effects that it produces. I remember very well reading an article in L'Osservatore Romano, you know, the Vatican kind of newspaper. A couple of first Holy Communion kids were told to ask Pope Benedict the 16th any question at all that they like, you know. And one of the kids, you know, he says, how do we know that what we receive in the Eucharist is truly the body and blood of Christ? How do we know? We just received Holy Communion this morning, isn't it? Did it taste like blood? No, tasted like wine. Did the host taste like flesh? No. So he asked a very intelligent question. Listen to what Pope Benedict the 16th told this child. He said, you see, yes, what we truly receive is the body and blood of Christ. And how we know it's the body and blood of Christ is the effect that it has in our lives. It changes us. He says, can you see? He asked the child, he says, can you see electricity? Can you see electricity? No, you can't see electric power. What we see is the effects of what? Electricity. That's what you see in light. But if you want to check out and doubt and say electricity doesn't exist, you just go put your finger in that socket and we'll see what happens. You understand? So we can't see electricity, but we can see the effect that electricity produces through the light that we see. It says it's the same thing with the sacraments. With the sacraments. What do we say the sacrament is? A sacrament is. It's an outward sign that what? Points to an inward reality. You know. So that's it. It's the same with the Eucharist, you know. The whole idea that we receive, you know, species of bread and wine, but we believe. See, so you come with faith. It's not so much like you can test it like in a laboratory. And no, it belongs to a different realm altogether. So it's the effects that the anointing produces that helps us to recognize the anointing, isn't it? That's it. It's just the effect. And you know it yourself when you are being transformed. You know it yourself when you don't do the things you used to do. When certain moments, you know, you are overcome with a certain presence. Sometimes it's just joy. I do that a lot. Like sometimes in the shower, you know, I just crack up laughing. I think Sarah and Jocelyn have this gift of joy, you know. And I think a lot of young people in America need that. Have you ever met people in school, high school? They come in the morning like they're old men and some old women, you know. Tired. Young people tired. In the morning. I meet them in the corridor every day at school. I say, come on, how is the morning? How are you this morning? Fine, Mr. Nemo. I say, then tell your face about it. It's like, I mean, you're 11 years old and you're like you're carrying the whole world on your shoulders. You can't smile. What it produces, it's clear. It's the effects. That's what the anointing does. I remember very well when I was in Uganda for those 2 years, you know, at the end of my 2 years there, lady in community walked up to me and she says, when you came to Uganda, the first day you landed, I thought you were faking a smile. But now I know it's real. It's been consistent for 2 years. I looked at her, I said, oh, you see? So people are watching you. And it can be infectious, the effect that this joy produces. It is so important. It is so important. Good morning. Good morning. If it's a good morning, then tell your face about it. Because it doesn't show on your face at all. That's what I tell the kids. And God will produce this. God will produce this in your life. A couple of people were asking me, so what happened to your daughter? And what happened to her mother and all that? So I didn't complete the story, huh? Okay. Okay. So when my baby was born, she was 6 months old and, you know, her mother brought her to me. So my parents were so kind. You know, it's good to have parents who, because you know what? My parents had seen the change. They had started seeing that Mark had turned around. So they wanted to give me every support. So they said, no, you go to college. You know, we'll be there for you. So my little Betty was brought home at 6 months old. And it was good. So my parents really raised Betty up. I was at home, but they provided room and board and lodging and everything, you know. It was good. So Betty grew up, and then her mother left the country. She came to the States. So my daughter's mother lives in Dallas, Texas. She's married. She has three other children over there. So with Betty, she has four. Okay? And she saw Betty when Betty was 13 years old. Okay? So my parents were coming to the States, and I asked them if they could come along with Betty. They were coming for the graduation of one of my sisters, who is a nun. She belongs to Holy Cross Congregation. Those who own Notre Dame, South Bend, right? Yeah, fighting Irish. Okay, so my parents were flying to South Bend, and, you know, they brought Betty along, 13-year-old. And I contacted her mother, and she flew over from Dallas to South Bend to see her, our daughter. Okay, and then, you know, she was crying and all that. She said, you know, could she stay with her and all that? So we arranged, and Betty came over. So my daughter spent 4 years in Dallas, from 13 till she was 17. And then she came back to complete high school and to complete college. So she's back at home. She's graduated from high school and everything, doing well. She's a woman. You know, she started working now for an electric company. Like, she works in their food services department because she graduated in home economics. Yeah, so that's a bit about that. But I just wanted to throw that in. So it's the effects. And what are some of the effects of the anointing? Sometimes it's a gentle calm and peacefulness in delicacy. There's a devotion and a deep emotion that's taking place. So sometimes that's how the anointing comes. It doesn't come in all the noise and the show me the truth. Sometimes very deeply, as all this is going on, you sense just a gentle, calm peacefulness. Don't we all need that sometimes? Especially in this country, when people are stressed. You know what I'm talking about, stressed? In the African-American community, sometimes when you ask, how are you doing? They say, I'm blessed, not stressed. That's what they sometimes say. What is it that's causing the stress? People can't take pressure in this country. I look at the things people complain against. Hey, you have food. You turn on the tap, water is flowing. Switch on, light. You can't complain. They're under stress. At the post office, they can't stay in line. Because what? Gotta go. People eat in the car, drive through. Breakfast in the car, lunch in the car, dinner in the car. You're stressed. Turn to somebody and say, relax. Turn to somebody and say, relax. Let's relax and receive. Because sometimes the Lord, the anointing wants to flow in this gentle calm, peacefulness. Sometimes too, secondly, the anointing comes in authority, in strength, in power, or ability to take command in a situation. Often based on our calling. God gives us the ability, you know, and the strength and the power and the authority to take command in a situation. And we could see these two different forms of the unfolding of an anointing in the life of Jesus. He was called meek and humble of heart. Isn't that right? He was called meek and humble of heart. That was his anointing. You knew it. He simply didn't have to speak. His presence poured forth an anointing such that sinners were drawn to him. Did you hear that? Sinners were drawn to him. They weren't drawn to the Pharisees. It's like, I don't want to be a Pharisee. You knew you wouldn't be judged in his presence, that he accepted you as you are. But he loved you so much that he did not want you to remain as you are. Hello? You're getting the difference? He accepts you as you are, but he loves you so much that he doesn't want you to remain as you are. What happened to that woman caught in adultery? John chapter 8. She was dragged in the presence of Jesus. And what did they say? We caught her right in the act of committing adultery, and she deserves to die. Okay, what did Jesus say? He started to write in the sand. And he says, he who hasn't committed any sin, throw the first stone. And they started to leave. It's so beautiful how John puts it, beginning from the eldest. They dropped their stones and left. What did he say to the woman? Where are your accusers? He says, go. Neither do I condemn you. Go, but sin no more. You see the anointing? See the anointing? In peace, in calm. He was meek and gentle. But other times, we saw that he was able to act with divine authority. When he would cast out demons and speak forth with power and authority. So the anointing confers a certain inward clarity that enables us to do what has to be done with ease and mastery. That's what the anointing is. The anointing confers a certain inward clarity that enables us to do what has to be done with ease and mastery. That's what the anointing does. But it's an inward clarity. Cantal Amesa refers to it. He says it's like when you speak of athletes being in form, you know, it's like he's in shape. What's the name of that Jamaican guy who does 100 meters? Usain Bolt. The guy is in shape. What do they call him? Like Thunderbolt, huh? Boom, shoo, he's gone. How does that come about? You know, he's been training and training and training. He's in shape. That's what it's about. That's what it's about. Or he says it's like the inspiration that a poet, do you say poet? A poet receives when he stands to recite a poem. You see, the person is inspired. That's how you sense an anointing. That's how you sense an anointing. Very, very powerful. Now, the question I ask you is, are you in shape? Are you in form? Ready to do what? To release this anointing that comes? And this is what he says in the book. Huh? He says, there is no mistaking an anointing when we are in the presence of someone who is experiencing it. But though we see it, it is never possible to find clear concepts or definitions to say what it is that we see. For it partakes, in fact, of the very nature of the Holy Spirit and of an order of being beyond our grasp. You remember what I was talking about? That sometimes we try to use words to explain something that we can't. It's the infinite. It says, the Dictionary of Spirituality says, the spiritual teaching of Saint Bonaventure is suffused throughout with anointing and poetry. So you sense the anointing, but sometimes you can't grasp it. But if the anointing is something that comes from the presence of the Holy Spirit and is in fact the Spirit's gift, what could we possibly do to experience it? And he says this. He says, right away, we need to remember what St. John assures us. And that's the scripture we chose for our theme. You have been anointed by the Holy One. 1 John 2:20. You have been anointed by the Holy One. That is, we already possess the anointing because we are baptized and confirmed. Say this after me. I am baptized and confirmed. This is so, so important because we are baptized and confirmed. And that's the traditional teaching concerning the indelible seal based on 2 Corinthians. We took that scripture. Chapter 1, verse 21 to 22 expresses it. Christ has anointed us in these sacraments, marking us with his seal and giving us the pledge, the spirit that we carry in our hearts. This anointing, however, will remain inert and inactive in us unless we... Are you ready for this? Unless we set it free. Amen? I like it. Unless we set it free, it remains inert and inactive in us. And that's what he says. He says, as long as perfume is sealed in a bottle, no one will be able to enjoy its lovely smell. As long as perfume is sealed in a bottle, no one will be able to enjoy its lovely smell. Can you smell my perfume? No. Some of you are allergic to the scent, eh? So I don't want to spray it. I'm not going to spray it. But what does it say? It says the alabaster jar needs to be broken. Hello? Hello? This is it. So if we're asking how, what, to receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit, my recommendation is this. Cantor Lamessa recommends it. He says, set it free. Turn to somebody, say, set it free. You see, in the scriptures, Jesus was never anointed with oil, except on that occasion when that woman, Mary Magdalene, broke the alabaster jar, Mark chapter 14, verse 3, and he poured the oil, okay, and anointed Jesus. John chapter 12, you find the same thing. But in John chapter 12, verse 3, it says, the house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So how do you set the anointing free? By breaking the alabaster jar. By breaking the alabaster jar of oil. Sweet-smelling scented oil. And you know what happened? When Mary Magdalene broke that, people started to complain. Hello? You see, when the anointing begins to break forth, you start to have people complaining. They started to complain. Oh, what? This is expensive oil. It could have been sold for this and the money given to the poor. You see, Jesus knew all this. He says it could have been sold for more than 300 days' wages and the money given to the poor. They were infuriated with her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you make trouble for her? She has done a good thing for me. The poor you will always have with you. And whenever you wish, you can do good to them. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anticipated anointing my body for burial. Amen, I say to you. wherever the gospel is proclaimed to the whole world, what she has done will be told in memory of her. And it's 2,000 years now, and I'm still speaking about what she did. She broke the alabaster jar to set free the anointing. And Cantala Mesa has a beautiful way of putting it. He says, the jar is our own humanity that must be broken. The jar is our own humanity. It's our I, the I in us. Hello? Our I, often the arid intellectualism to which we cling. Sometimes we think we know it all. Have you encountered some teenagers? Like their parents tell them this. Suddenly, they wake up one morning, they know everything. I know. What? When did you start knowing? I know. And often we bring it. He describes it. I like the way he says it's an arid intellectualism. Then we think we know everything. It says to break it means to surrender ourselves to God, to become obedient to Him even to death, just as Jesus did. Remember I spoke about humbling ourselves yesterday and being obedient? Obedience is a heart attitude, and it follows up with our actions in what we do. You heard the story of that young boy who was acting up, and mom said, "Stop it, Tom." And he wouldn't stop. "Stop it, Tom." And then mom began to give Tom that eye. You know, when my mother started to look at you with that eye, it meant that the next time her shoe was going to fly like a boomerang. You know, it can hit you and come back to her. So mom just looked at Tom, and Tom sat down on a chair with a grin on his face and said, "Mom, inside I'm sitting, but outside I'm standing." No. Outside I'm sitting, but inside I'm standing. You got it. That means you were listening. So he was acting in a different way. We got to be obedient. We got to surrender to the Lord. We got to surrender to the Lord. It's very powerful. But how do we surrender? You know, again and again, we're saying the anointing doesn't depend on us. It depends on God. But friends, we can cooperate. We can cooperate with God for God to release the anointing. True? Yeah. That's what we can do. So he says, however, although our own effort to be surrendered, obedient, plays a part, it is not all that is needed. The anointing comes much more through believing, praying, and in humble simplicity, asking for it. So how do you receive the anointing? By believing, by praying, and by humbly asking for it. So he says, notice, when Jesus received his anointing, while Jesus was praying, the heaven was opened and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in the River Jordan. Luke chapter 3, 21 to 22. So we got to be a people who believe. Say believe. And it has something to do with our whole faith attitude. Listen to what Jesus says in Luke chapter 18, verse 8. He says, "Will the Son of Man find faith when he returns?" Will he find faith? Will he find people who are still believing in him? And when we speak about faith, we're not talking about just a doctrinal kind of faith. How many persons are in one God? Three. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Do you know what? The devil also believes that. Yeah. So what's the difference? We want to move from a doctrinal faith to what we call a believing faith. That we trust God. That we can place our lives in his hands. And not only that, but to graduate to expectant faith, baby. Expectant faith. Faith that moves mountains. That's who we are called, a people of faith. And that involves us stepping out of the boat, if you like. Remember the story of Peter? Seeing Jesus walking on the lake. And he says, Lord, if it's you, let me come. Jesus says, come here. Come here, Peter. Come. And he steps out of the boat and he begins to walk on water. Have you started to walk on water? Man. And then he suddenly starts to see the storm and the wind. Oh my God. Then he took his eyes off Jesus. And then he began to sink. When we take our eyes off Jesus, that's what happens to us. And what did he do? Help! Lord, help me. What did Jesus do? He just stretched out his hands and says, come on, baby. Come on, Peter. Come on, Peter. You see? See how he's there to help us? Even in our unbelief. So believing in the Lord is one key thing, friends. And God is going to call you to step out. I call it living on the edge. Living on the edge. And many of us have not come to that place yet. You know what? We trust so much in our bank accounts. I've saved enough for my retirement. Hello? Am I speaking to somebody here? I've saved enough for my retirement. You see, I call the continent of Africa a continent of faith. You need faith to survive there. Here you just dial 911 and the ambulance is there. That's why the kids get involved in all kinds of crazy sports. Have you watched Whacked Out? You know the Whacked Out sports? You've not seen Whacked Out on TV? I tell you, people do crazy things. Dangerous. Who does skateboarding here? Like skateboarding? Anybody? Yeah. And sometimes they wouldn't even put on any helmets. No, nothing to guard them. And they jump and poof. Dial 111, the ambulance will be there. Come to Africa. When you dial 911, you know what? Sometimes when you call the police, they tell you, oh, do you have a car to come and pick us up? Yes. So you got to walk on faith. Believing God for the impossible. We pray over our children in Africa. I remember my mother was telling me a story of when I was a baby. She says, man, one night my dad was somewhere on mission. My dad also used to preach a lot, you know. And she was alone with her. I'm the fifth child. And she said, I started running temperature and I was throwing up in the night. And she had no means of transport. In Africa, you put the children in your back, right? And you tie. So she said, she tied me up. And she saw my teeth was like coming up. So she put a spoon in my mouth. So my teeth would like go like that. And she started praying. And she was walking toward the hospital. She told me that story. I survived to tell it. Hallelujah. So you got to pray over your children. I do it here in Chicago. My first thing is not pull out my insurance card. Blue Cross, Blue Shield. And you know what? Even after the insurance we've been paying every month, you go, they bring me a bill. I'm saying, but what's the point in paying insurance? The other day we took Noel, 1 year old. The doctor says, we got to do lead, what do you call lead test, huh? The nurses here, to test whether she has lead in. So we went, took everything, blood sample. And the bill came, other things apart from the lead, that we didn't request for, they didn't tell us. They've taken all those things. Bill, go and pay. What do you do if you don't have the money? Faith. Some bills, when I receive them, you know where I go to? The Blessed Sacrament. We have an adoration chapel. Certain bills, I go and put them there. I say, Jesus, this is your bill. Believing. This is what it's about. Believing. And God always comes through. This is it. Those who come to the Lord must believe he exists. Hebrews 11 tells us. And he rewards those who put their trust in him. Praise God. And not only believing, but praying. We got to be a people of prayer. That's why we go for prayer meeting. What do we call it? Prayer meeting. We're known to be a people of prayer. That's what a charismatic renewal is all about. Praise, worship, thanksgiving, intercession. Pray without ceasing. That's how the anointing comes. You set the atmosphere and create the conditions for the anointing to flow. Because God dwells in the praises of his people. Psalm 22 verse 3. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5, 17 to 19. Ephesians 6, 18. Keep on praying. Keep on praying and in the spirit. And then thirdly, so believing, praying, and in humble simplicity, ask for it. Keep on asking for it. I like that scripture, Luke chapter 11. Jesus is teaching his disciples about prayer. Okay? Luke chapter 11, reading from verse 9. And he says, and I tell you, ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, what? Receives. And the one who seeks, finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Now listen to this. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? I like this part. How much more? How much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more? How much more? So we got to ask. And I like that scripture because, again, in that Greek translation, it's not just ask and you shall receive. It says, keep on asking and you will keep on. Keep on seeking and you will keep on. Keep on knocking and the door will be what? Open to you. So this is how you receive the anointing. You dispose yourself. You create the conditions for the anointing of God to come upon you by believing, by praying, and by asking. Keep on asking. Let your knuckles get bruised. When he tells you to start, he says, Lord, I ain't stopping until you come through. Keep on knocking. That's what it's about. Okay, I see you're tired. True? Oh, I see certain heads going this way. Praise God. So let's close. Let's close by taking an example of somebody who was anointed. And I'm sharing this with you because it's something I learned about some 15 to 20 years ago, and it's helped me. Okay, it's a story of a guy you know very well. He's called Samson. You ever heard about Samson? It's in the book of Judges. Okay, Samson and Delilah. The lady's name was Delilah. Isn't that a cool name? Say it, let me hear. Delilah. Samson and Delilah. So Judges chapter 16. Judges chapter 16. Samson is this guy who was born, and you know, it was like a rite. And they made a vow that they weren't going to ever shave his hair. So he wasn't going to go to the barber. Okay? So because he was like a Nazarite, that's what they called them. And he would have his dreadlocks. Alright? He would have dreadlocks. But you know what? In his dreadlocks was the secret of his strength. So you read from Judges chapter 16 verse 4. It says, after that, he fell in love, that Samson, with a woman in the Wadi Sorek, whose name was Delilah. The lords of the Philistines came to her and said, beguile him and find out the secret of his great strength, and how we may overcome and bind him so as to keep him helpless. You see, people will always look for the opportunity to discover the secret of your anointing. The secret of your strength. So that we can what? We can overcome and bind him so as to keep him helpless. we will each give you 1,100 shekels of silver. See, they wanted to bribe Delilah, so Delilah will go and seduce Samson, so he would let out the secret of his what? His strength. Call it the secret of his anointing. So it goes on and on and on, and it's a beautiful story as it unfolds. Samson begins to tell Delilah a lie, you know? And then they try to bind him, and he simply goes, and he overcomes, okay? So that story goes on, but in verse 22, he lets out everything, you know? Verse 5. Let's see what verse it is. I'm sorry. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, verse 15. He says, then she said to him, how can you say that you love me when you do not confide in me? 3 times already you have mocked me and not told me the secret of your great strength. You see it? She importuned him continually and vexed him with her complaints till he was deathly weary of them. So he took her completely into his confidence and told her, no razor has touched my head, for I have been consecrated to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaved, my strength will leave me, and I shall be as weak as any other man. Did you hear that? He knew the secret of his anointing, but he allowed himself to be seduced by Delilah. And he let out that secret. When Delilah saw that he had taken complete confidence into his confidence, she summoned the lords of the Philistines, saying, come up this time, for he has opened his heart to me. So the lords of the Philistines came and brought up the money with them. She had him sleep on her lap and called for a man who shaved off his 7 locks of hair. Then she began to mistreat him, for his strength had left him. When she said, the Philistines are upon you, Samson, and he woke from his sleep, he thought he could make good his escape, and he had that as he had done time and again. For he did not realize that the Lord had left him, but the Philistines seized him and gouged out his eyes. Then they brought him down to Gaza and bound him with bronze fetters, and he was put to grinding in the prison. Are you ready? Verse 22. But the hair of his head began to grow as soon as it was shaved off. Hello. Hello. This is good news. A lot of things may have taken away the anointing, but you can open up your life and it can start to grow again. But his hair began to grow. And isn't it beautiful how the story ended? That as his hair grew back, his eyes were gouged out. And the Philistines thought they were having what? A field day. They were partying and drinking and everything. And they said, bring Samson. And they told a little boy to lead him, so they would make fun of him. This is the guy who trusted in the Lord, who thought he had strength. And you know what Samson told the little boy? Take me to the pillar. Take me to one of the pillars. And the little boy was leading him. The people were drinking. Ah, he can't see. When he stood by the pillar, he held it. You know what? He says, Lord, my strength is back. He pulled the whole pillar. And the scripture said, Samson killed many more people that day in that amphitheater or wherever it is than he had ever killed when even his eyes were what? Were there. Praise God. Praise God. And so the question I ask is, what's the secret of your strength? What's the secret of your anointing? For some people, it's simply this. It's simply cultivating practices that will dispose you to be in shape or in form. Like Usain Bolt. So that you are ready when the Lord calls you for a task. For some people, it's daily Eucharist. Are there any daily Eucharist people here? Thank you. that you try your best. For some people, that's where the anointing is. For others, it's adoration of the Blessed Sacrament. Anybody here who loves to adore the Blessed Sacrament? Nobody? You don't spend time? Yeah. It's Jesus. A friend of mine often says, you know, you go and just have a suntan. You know how people go to Cancun? You know Cancun? To lie on the beach so their skin will get what? Tanned. Suntan from the sun. But this, the rays is from the Son of God. You get a suntan. And when people look at you, they say, what happened to you? You look different. Of course I look different. I just had a suntan. I gazed upon him, he gazed upon me. You know the story of that cure of ours, you know, John Vianney, St. John Vianney, that priest? Yeah, cure, yeah. Cure de A, yeah. Cure de A, that's in French, but cure of ours in English, right? And yeah, he used to see this peasant, this farmer who would always, constantly, he had cows, he had pigs, he had animals, and he had farm. He would farm. But every afternoon, he would walk, open the chapel, go and sit inside. Ah, for many years. So he called him and he said, what do you go there to do in the church? He says, Father, I go to pray. He said, how do you pray? He says, I sit there, I look at him, and he also looks at me. That was the secret of his anointing. For some of you, maybe the Lord is calling you to scripture reading. Father Larry Richards speaks about NBNB, no Bible, no breakfast. NBNB. Say it after me, no Bible, or no Bible, no bed. He says, keep the Bible by your bedside. First thing, read it in the morning, scripture. To get you in the right frame of mind. No Bible, no breakfast. For some of you, it might be fasting. Which a lot of people have stopped fasting. But certain demons can always be cast out by prayer and fasting, I tell you. It disposes you. So let's turn back to it. You won't die if you miss 3 meals a day. Turn to your neighbor and say, you won't die. Thank you. And people tell us all kinds of things. You know, breakfast is the most important meal in the day. You got to have some breakfast. You got to have this. What is all that? What is all that? Let go of, sacrifice something. You begin to see the anointing. For some people, the secret of the anointing is fellowship with other Christians. As we gather like this, we praise God. You begin to sense a certain presence of God. That's the anointing. For some of us, it's witnessing, telling others about the joy. Hi, Jocelyn. Hi, Sarah. Yeah. Witnessing just like this. Witnessing about the joy, about how God has touched your life. As you do that, you begin to sense, man, it wasn't me. What did I say? Sometimes I'm surprised. He broke down in tears. She broke down in tears. What did I do? A priest who was my pastor at the university, okay, where I grew up, my university campus. I mean, he was a professor of theology. He had been a priest for 30 years. But I knew that something was going wrong in his life. He had a drinking problem. People were talking behind his back in the parish. You know how people gossip about pastors? And when he stood to preach, you knew that he wasn't operating under the anointing. Sometimes, to be very honest, sometimes for certain evening masses, he would even come drunk. How would I know? Because he would mess up even the prayers of consecration. He would lift up the host. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation, through your goodness. Then he expects us to say, blessed be God forever. Or what do you call it? Yeah. It was sad. It was that sad. But you know what? As students on campus in the charismatic prayer group, we started to pray for him. We did not just talk about him. We started to pray for him and fast for him. And one day, we held a revival. He gave us permission. And this priest and another team came from another city. Man, as we were worshiping and praising God, he called one of the priests and they left. They went to the sacristy. Boy, as a leader, I was sitting there. I say, oh boy, we are in trouble. What have we done? We thought he was going to complain. No, no, he was going for confession. He was going for confession. Now, when this other priest came back with him and the program was over, he walked up to me, this priest, and he said, he's ready, baby. He's ready, baby. Get him through the life in the spirit seminars. So I walked up to him and I said, Father, would you like to experience the life in the spirit seminars? He said, what? I've been to America. I went to Ohio, to where? Steubenville. And I have even the books. I said, Father, it's not about books. I want to talk with you about the seminars. So every day for 5 days before evening mass, I sat with him. I'm sure people were walking about saying, what kind of sins is he confessing? They didn't know what was happening. So I took him through gradually life. And then at the end of it, it was 12 people that prayed over him. 5 seminarians and 7 lay people. We took him to a Franciscan chapel up on a hill. Whoa! He was a heavy duty, so he needed 12 people. Prayed over him. We asked him to open up for the charisms, whatever it is. And he did. 1 week after that, he said he was praying his bravery in his room alone. What happens? He starts to sing the song, He is Lord. He's risen from the dead. And he says tears begin to run down. He started to experience the anointing. And what? He started to pray in tongues alone in his room. Bam. His ministry was changed forever. He wrote a letter to me. Would you believe it? And he says, I've been 30 years a priest, and I can confidently say, you are my spiritual director. I was moved to tears. I couldn't believe it. Did I do it? No. It was the Lord. It was the Lord. I only yielded to the anointing. And he's different. Father Joseph, he wouldn't mind me sharing this testimony. He's now very advanced in age now. He's over 70. But when he stands to preach, all he's looking forward to is simply this. Can he smell the Spirit on you? You remember what we said about perfume? Yeah. All he's checking out is, has the alabaster jar been broken in your life? If he doesn't smell it on you, he's laying hands on people everywhere. People are falling under the power and all that. Man! That's all he's seeking, to get people open up and be anointed by the Spirit. Where are you at now, right? Has the alabaster jar been broken? Because you are the aroma of Christ. We're supposed to exhume out the sweet-smelling presence of the Spirit, which is God's seal upon us. Let's pray right now. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Tell him, Lord, I trust him. Lord, I want to take a step in believing in you. I want to take a step in trusting in you. I want to come to a new place of fervency in prayer. I want you to set me free from what stops me from believing in you. Lord, stretch our faith that we might believe like never before. Bring us into situations, Lord God, where we have to trust you. Otherwise, nothing will work. And Lord, give us that gentle spirit to ask, to seek, to knock. Open the doors, O God. Thank you, Jesus, for your favor. Hallelujah, Jesus. We do this all for your grace is enough for me. Praise you, Jesus.
You heard me. Whatever you heard, probably something struck you. Speak that forth to the Lord. Tell the Lord, Lord, this is what I want to take in order to walk in this anointing.
Thank you.